wonderful it is to be able to be here. If you'll forgive me a little bit of sentimentality, although you should know that about me by now. It is only by the grace and the mercy of God that I stand here before you. Grace and mercy that God used through you, who took in a 20-something-year-old kid and encouraged him and made him a part of your family and pushed him. So it is only by the grace and the mercy of God that I'm here, and I am so happy to be here with you. Great, Tanya and I both. It is good to be among family. So many faces, I am so pleased. I'd like us to, this morning, look at something I'm sure everyone is familiar with. I know I was, especially on the way here. And that is dealing with the study of impatience. And that's going backwards. Impatience. Does it sound familiar? Something that you might struggle with? It seems our society is built upon having instant gratification, isn't it? I mean, I want something now. I want something to happen now. That's why if you don't answer my text in the next second, I'm going to be upset. So this is something that I myself am working on. You ever been in Walmart, been in a rush? You go to the checkout line and you're irritated because you have to stand in line wishing, you know, I wish some of those people would have chosen another lane. Or I wish they had more checkers. I'm in a rush to get home. Or I've been working all day and I really don't want to stand here. My legs are aching. You ever been in traffic? Like I was. Bumper to bumper, and you're trying to get somewhere, and one lane seems to be moving slower than another. Maybe it's stop and go like it was in Indianapolis. And so you try to get over the lane, but people are just zooming, you can't get in. And as soon as you actually make it, then that lane slows down and stops. The other lane you were in starts speeding up, and you feel it. That was me. Tanya could tell you. She was trying to calm me down. But maybe there's something that changes your life in a way that frustrates you and drives you to the edge. Maybe a debilitating illness comes in your life that changes everything how you used to live. And now you have to learn to do things in a completely different way. Maybe it's an injury. And everything is now more difficult, more painful. And it makes you so impatient. It's like, I can't deal with this. I'd say if that's the case, you're well acquainted with impatience. And this morning, I hope that we'll take a look at what God has to say about this condition, because I think it plays such an important part of who we are, how people know us, more importantly, how God looks at us. If we're going to define it, Merriam-Webster defines it as, well, not patient. You're restless or short of temper, especially under irritation, delay, or opposition. Another definition is eagerly desirous, anxious. Does that sound like an emotion you're familiar with? I know it is me. Another definition is basically to feel or to show hostility toward, or at least about, things that obstruct, things that frustrate, or things that delay someone's goals, my goals. If anything gets in the way of me wanting to accomplish what I'm setting out to accomplish, that frustrates me. I become hostile towards that. And in that way, it is related to anger. You know, we become enraged to deliberate outside threats to our well-being or to the well-being of those we love, don't we? Someone dares to hurt my child? That's anger. Fury. And the anger really is an expression of the fear. The fear that comes from being threatened. The fear that comes from being evaded or mistreated. Or the ones you love from being mistreated. And the anger the purpose of which is to deter that outside threat I'm furious at that outside threat, and I'm going to act accordingly because I want to keep it from going any further. Different from anger, impatient people tend to view virtually all threats as, well, virtually all situations as threatening. It's not to the survival of them or their loved ones, but it's to the threat to their goals. I had the goal of being here with you. And anything on the road that seemed to threaten that goal was hostile to me. You know, there are signs that we can view in someone who's characterized by impatience. You know, you look around, maybe you can understand, you look in the mirror like, you know, it's not just I become impatient once in a while, and I'm usually a very patient person, but then there's folks, and you may see in yourself, that we're characterized by impatience. People like, John's not quick on the patience there. He gets irritated pretty quickly that things don't go his way. You know, there's constant jaw clenching, maybe. There are some folks who are at the drop of a hat, the slightest frustration, you can see them or hear them swearing. Maybe there's high blood pressure involved. I mean, there's a lot of stress and a lot of anger. And that there's people who are characterized by that. They're all constantly seeming on edge. Impatient people feel like they are missing out somehow, so they act on that. Something's keeping me from what I really want to do. And they act out. But I think if we look at the scriptures, we're going to understand that impatience is not something that's fickle. Oh, that's just so-and-so. They're an impatient person. That's just who they are. And certainly there could be some characteristics that we kind of lean to towards others, but it's not something I think is fickle in God's eyes. I think it's something that we can cultivate, and we can cultivate away from impatience. We're going to see that patience is a form of unbelief. In Genesis chapter 16, do you remember God promised Abraham, even in his old age, he says, you're going to have a son. You're going to have an heir. And as we were looking at our Bible class this morning, that Abraham had faith in God's promise. Actually, it was from the Bible talk this morning. That there was faith. He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, Sarah, his wife, was, I think, impatient for God to fulfill his promise. She's like, when is it happening? And she wanted that promise to come about. So in chapter 16, what did she do? She gave her servant to Abraham to have an heir. She took matters into her own hands, and look at the result of her unbelief. In Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 5, we can read the account of Israel, or Judah really, who grew impatient with waiting for God to help them. So instead of waiting for God to help them, they say, well, we don't see God do anything. We're going to go ahead and seek help from Egypt. You know what God sees in those verses there? He reveals his heart. He says, you didn't seek my counsel. You didn't wait for me. You saw Egypt's help. And you can read in those verses his heartache and his anger toward them. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 5 to 14, we look at the occasion where Saul, well, he was in battle. He was about to go in battle. And he was waiting for Samuel to perform the sacrifice. Samuel didn't show up, it seemed, at the appointed time, and Saul was growing really impatient, really nervous. And what did Saul do? Well, he performed the sacrifice which he was not authorized to do, and you see what happened there. You know, there are some consequences. If you look at these examples, there are some consequences of impatience, and I think we've seen this in our own lives. We've seen how we can make mistakes, we can make bad choices because we're so impatient for something to happen, we decide to help things out or we jump on a situation. We make mistakes, bad choices. Look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2. where he says, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who makes haste with his feet errs. In the previous chapter, in verse 13, he says, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. We see how Sarah made the mistake. She made a bad choice in giving Hagar to her husband to help God fulfill his purpose, his promise. We can see where Judah made a bad choice, putting their trust in Egypt rather than putting their trust in God and his promises. Saul made a horrible choice in not waiting for Samuel, not trusting in God to protect and keep his promise, or Samuel for that matter. How many bad choices have you and I made because we jump to conclusions because we are too impatient to get all the facts? I hear a few facts about something, and then I jump to a conclusion, and I start, I can't believe you said, and I make decisions, only to find out I didn't have all the facts. And now because of that, there's some consequences. How many relationships are broken or damaged because of our impatience, and our irritation with people causes us to make those snap judgments and decisions? You ever get into a conversation with someone, it turns into an argument, and you're not really listening to that person, you're just waiting for your chance to go ahead and say what you want to say? Maybe I listen to a fraction of something, oh, well, I got a response for that, and everything else they say flies out the window, and you're just waiting. Guilty? Yes. There's consequences. We make bad choices. We make bad decisions when we're impatient. And related to this, we have outbursts of wrath and strife. When we manifest our impatience, it tends towards sinful wrath. James chapter 1, verse 20, connected to this, the writer notes this. He says, for the wrath, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And that's something that it is hard to remember. When I'm angry and I feel like I've been wronged, or something's not happening the way I feel it should be happening, I get angry and I say, this is right, this is justified what I'm feeling. But there's a lot of times when I'm wrong and then it's not justified. My impatience can fool me. These emotions of frustration, irritation, and anger can raise our stress levels. It can harm our health. Can lead to violence. Can I say two words to you? Road rage. We all understand. How about financial woes? Newlywed couples. It's easy. You look at these well-established families who've been in it for 20, 30 plus years, and they have all these nice things in their home that they took time to accumulate. And you got the newlyweds, oh, we want to be just like them, and we burn that credit card. You end up in a whole bunch of financial trouble, don't you? We have to be patient. It can damage our ability to communicate with each other. When someone doesn't have the patience to engage in meaningful conversation, we tend to speak without thinking of how it sounds, how it comes across. We may get annoyed when other people speak. I want to talk. We don't have any patience to wait for others to get to the point of what they're trying to say. So we tend to rush and we try to finish their sentences. Yeah, you're going to say this. And we try to finish their sentences for them. We put words in their mouth maybe, or we try to find some other way to hurry the conversation. Ask Tanya if I'm guilty of that. Some people take longer to get to their point than others. Me, I'm a person, I just, and I'm done. That's my point. Others kind of work at it, because they're trying to think as they talk, and they try to get their point. And I have no patience for that sometimes. And it damages our ability to communicate. This can result in a loss of relationships, friendships. If we're not willing to listen to each other, what did the therapists all say to marriage couples? Communication. Right? Friendships, communication. That means you actually do active listening. It's all involved in patience. And for some, impatience. But we also understand that death If impatience is a lack of patience, which God demands from us as a fruit of the Spirit and as wisdom that is from above, then this is a characteristic of which we must repent. If I'm impatient, it's not something that's a charming foible or characteristic of John Dowdy. It's something I must repent of, as much as lying or stealing or, you know, being unfaithful. Impatience is something I must repent of, something I must change from. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23 tells us that it is something that will affect us, our eternal soul. For he says in verse 22, he's describing the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. There you go. And he says, against such things there is no law. But notice that impatience and its fruit, the opposite, will result in what? Verses 19 through 21 tell us that these things result in those who practicing those not inheriting the kingdom of God. Now, before we think that, well, I'm just doomed, we understand that if he's describing these things as these are the things you must put on and here's the things you must take off, understand these are things we can change. That's the great news. So it's not something I'm fated to have where I just have this personality here of impatience and there's not much I can do about it. No, I can work to grow more patient. I'm reminded of family, and you have an aged parent or aged grandparent, and they're suffering from dementia, or they're suffering from something where they're not themselves, and their children are what with them? They're patient. They love their parent. They understand that they're not themselves, and that's something that's learned. That's not something that's something that's decided. It's not something that's inherent. And with that, let's talk about the remedy. The remedy. And simply put, that is patience, long-suffering. It's a deliberate choice to refrain from hasty action. If you, when you're angry, count to 10 before you say something or do something, guess what you're practicing? Patience. When you want to say something in an argument or in a discussion, and you just want to let fly with something that's angry words, and you hold back, guess what you're practicing? A little bit of self-control, patience. It's a choice. It's a deliberate choice. We're thinking before we choose to act or speak. And that's something that is cultivated, something that we grow within ourselves. Also, we need to gain knowledge to make those good decisions. Remember in Proverbs 19, verse 2, what was put in those verses before we talked about impatience? He said it's not good for a person to be without knowledge. And he connects that to being hasty with your feet and erring. And if we have information, we can make informed choices, and we don't make those impulsive, hasty, bad decisions. Also, in chapter 18, verse 13, which we read, he who gives an answer before he hears. We need to hear. What is the entire situation? What is the person trying to make? Also, we need to pray to be delivered from anxiety and impatience. Philippians chapter 4, and verses 6 and 7, tell us what we should be doing and the mindset we should have. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, some things that I fail to do when I'm feeling impatient is pray. Because remember, are we doing all this? Are we doing good things on our own? Is it all ourselves, or is it God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and Christ's Spirit indwelling in us, helping us? We're all dependent on the strength of God, aren't we? We need to pray for strength. We need to pray for the right kind of spirit, the right kind of perspective, the way to view the situation, to view the person. You know, I don't want to jump the boat here. I almost did. We need to pray regarding our dealings with other people. Let's look at some verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. And as I read these verses, I want you to be listening, and I want you to listen for a common thread that you hear through every verse. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, and showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Colossians 3, verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We also see in verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. And finally in chapter 4, verse 2, where he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. What's one characteristic that's involved with being patient with one another? We notice in those verses. Love. Love. If we want to grow in our patience with one another and with others, we want to practice love. We want to grow in love. Because you know what? You tend to be more patient with the people that you love, don't you? Talking about the aged parent or grandparent. You're more patient. You're more patient with your children because you love them. If you find yourself impatient with other people, maybe we need to grow in our love for them. Maybe see them as God sees them. This will help. Also, note, when it comes to impatience, I need to think more, be more selfless. If I am more selfless and I'm thinking of the needs of other people, it will help encounter the fear of me feeling like I'm missing out of my objective not being accomplished. Love helps us in our dealings with others. But what about our patience with circumstances beyond our control? Maybe people are treating us ill. The people who we're trying to be patient with are being ugly toward us. The people who should be treating us like family are not treating us like they should. How do I deal with circumstances like illness? Let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 1. And we'll go ahead and read verses 5 through 8 and then 10 through 11. James chapter 5. He says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. But then he says, you have lived luxury on the earth and lived a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death a righteous man. He does not resist you. But then he says, be patient, therefore, brethren. He's talking to the brethren who have been waiting and suffering through these things. for the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient, strengthening your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Verse 10, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. There were some situations where they were suffering from those who were well off, taking advantage of their prosperity, taking advantage of their power over others. And there was judgment for those folks. But for those who were enduring hostility, what did he tell them to do? He said, be patient, endure, trust. Trust in the Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Also, we see back in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, where he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How do we deal with things that are difficult to cope with? Maybe I lose my job. Maybe I lose my house. Maybe I am afflicted by an illness. How did Job deal with that? He endured it. It wasn't fun, but he endured it. He never forsook God. He never turned his back on the Lord. He questioned his situation, as any of us probably would, but he trusted that God is good and that that God would cause it to work out. We tend to be more patient to endure with hardship if we have faith. If we have faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's goodness. Faith in God's, well, his faithfulness. If we trust that God will cause everything to work out in the end, I can endure a lot of things, can't I? It's only when I start losing trust in God's goodness that when an affliction hits me of whatever kind it form it takes, that I become impatient and become enraged and despair and become anxious. I've seen some people and they are terminally ill with cancer. And you see the way they conduct themselves. They're full of love. They're more patient and more gentle than the people who are tending to them. How can you be this way? And they have a great outlook on life. And there's other people who are afflicted and they self-destruct. We need to have faith in our Lord. Faith in God's goodness. That He understands. Yes, He understands what we're going through. He understands what we're enduring more than we think He does. And He's going to resolve that. He's going to answer that. We just need to trust Him. And if I know that God's going to make everything right, I can endure people mistreating me. Because I know that the judge is going to make everything all right. And you know what? With my love for other people, I want them to be spared just like I was spared. Because I wasn't a great person at some point, was I? And I still need the grace and the mercy of God. This will help us with our patience. Help us with the situations. And it's something that we need to grow in. And so I need to put off impatience. I need to put off anxiety. Put off the anger that is so easily seen. It's not easy when everyone is impatient. Like I said, I text someone and I don't get an answer. Well, they must not be happy with me. I jump to wrong conclusions. Sound familiar? Maybe that person put their phone up because they're just tired and they went to bed early. What do I know? I need to have some patience, don't I? We can overcome the impatience that causes us so much stress, so much heartache. You know, a lot of the stress we put on ourselves. We do it to ourselves. We don't allow the peace of God that passes all comprehension to find its way into our hearts because we are so impatient. But our love for God, our faith in God, and our love for one another can help us find that peace that constantly eludes everyone else. And when that happens, you're going to stand out. People are going to notice that you are a very patient person. And they're going to want, in some level, they're going to seek that out themselves and find out what you're doing right. And then we need to point their way to God, who provides us that peace, if we only take it. You know, our society with COVID and people treating each other so ugly with all the race wars and all the horrible things going on, we need more than ever to be showing the Spirit of Jesus, our Lord, in the way that we act towards our Lord God and our faith, and the way that we treat each other. Yes, even those who are ugly to us, just as Jesus did when he suffered on the cross. It's so important, especially now, for the light to shine when there's so much darkness. And brethren, we can do it because we have the power of God waiting to be used to change our lives, if we just let it. Let's seek after patience and control our spirits and fashion them what God would have us to be. The song we're about to sing, 278, is God's call for the prodigal. God's call for those who have wandered on their own way, tried to do it their own way, and God wants them back. God wants us back. And it applies for each one of us. Sometimes we go astray in our thinking and we forget what's truly important. This song is for you and for me. But if our heart is not right with God, and we know that on some level, God wants us to respond and come back to Him and go to Him and submit ourselves. And if we can assist to help one another this morning with praying for each other, because remember, prayer so important. And we're happy to do that. You want to make a decision to obey the gospel this morning if you have not. God's calling you home. And He wants you to be in His fold. He wants you to be different and to come out of the world that's full of so much anger and despair, and to finally know the peace that He offers. And if you're willing to do that this morning, please respond to the invitation while we stand and we sing.
God is calling, the prodigal comes.